Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, second line from the top, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanaic source that is presented here deals with the issue of types of blood that are capable of being machshir lekabel tuma and types that are not. We speak about different types of liquids that, when coming into contact with fruits, they thereby enable the fruit or make the fruit susceptible to receiving tuma. That's called hechshir lekabel tuma. Amongst the different liquids, not all liquids, but amongst the different liquids is blood. But based on psukim, we will conclude that not all kinds of blood are capable of being machshir lekabel tuma. So we have a source that says v'dam chalolim yishteh. This pasuk describes the blood of chalolim. Chalolim are animals that were killed. Yishteh indicates a mashke. A mashke is something that's machshir lekabel tuma. Prat l'dam kiluach she'eno machshir es hazroim. This source is telling us that dam chalolim is a mashke, but not dam kiluach. Kiluach literally has to do with a flow, a blood flow. However, there is a great deal more detail to that than the mere translation. Let us refer to the Rashi, second line from the top. Prat l'dam kiluach. The base of the Shita Mekubetzes is recommended, so if you glance in the outside margin, you'll see the base, and he explains, Prat l'dam kiluach, dehochi mashma. Thusly, the posuk implies, dam shunas chol mimenu, hu davi mashke. The departure of that blood, we can call it the life blood, that causes the creature to die, that is what's called mashke. Prat l'dam kiluach, to the exception of dam kiluach hamekiz es habehemo, and we now go back to the Rashi. Mekiz is bloodletting of an animal. When an animal is sick, one of the medical procedures that's very popular in the Shas is bloodletting. That's called hakozas dam. So if an animal appeared to be ill, they would subject it to this treatment. Betchilo hadam shoisis betipo achasu shtaim. When doing hakozas hadam, there would be a drop or two of blood that would emerge. Ve'achar kach hu mekaleach, and then it comes out with a certain degree of force. Ve'achar kach hu mashchir, and then after it starts flowing blood, after flowing when there's a large loss of blood, it then turns black in color. Ve'hochi kaimel bekrisus. Thusly, it is featured in Maseches Krisus, V'tanya Hosam, and then a Brisa it says over there, Ezu dam hekiz, shanefesh yoitzaboy. What is the blood flow that one can identify as life departure? Mitipo hamashcheres veilech. From the point the blood starts turning very dark in color. Aval dam kiluach lo have dam hanefesh, but the blood that emerges prior to the darkening stage is not called dam hanefesh, and hence it's not the blood loss through which the life breath exits. Hence, the dam kiluach is not a mashke. And that's what the Brisa said at the top. Prat l'dam kiluach she'eno machshir es hazroim. That does not create hechshir when it comes to the wetting of fruits to make it susceptible to kabbalas tuma. It will not be the case if it became wet through contact with dam kiluach. Continuing in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, we have another Tanaic source, and you can see it too is in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Hashochet behitiz dam al hadlas. a person is shechting, is slaughtering an animal, and at the beginning of the shechita, some blood spurts and lands on a delas, a type of vegetation. Rashi adds delas tlusha shel truma, a detached delas that was set aside as a truma tithe, and truma is sensitive to kabbalas tuma. So Rebbe Omer Huchsher, Rebbe says that by this blood landing on it, it's Muchsher Lekabel Tuma, Rebbe Chia Omer Toilin. The term Tolin is something the Gemara will explain later on. But we can say at this early stage, according to Rebbe Chia, it's not clear, we're not going to say immediately, like Rebbe says, that it certainly is Muchsher. It's something that we'll say is in a state of doubt or hanging in the balance. Omar Rabbi Shaya, Me'achar Sherebi Oimer Huchshav Rabbi Chi Omer Toilin. Rabbi Shaya notes that what you have Rabbi saying it's Huchshav, and Rabbi Chia says it's Toilin. Anu Almi Nismoch, upon whom should we rely? Bo V'Nismoch Al Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Let's rely on Rabbi Shimon. Shehoy Rabbi Shimon Omer Shchito Machsheres V'Lo Dam. We have seen Shitas Rabbi Shimon in the past. In fact, we saw him in the Mishnah that said that the Shechita, the slaughtering, is Machshir and not the blood. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we can say the blood is not Machshir. So Rabbi would appear to be, at first glance, the only one that says blood is Machshir. And Rabbi Chia didn't agree with Rabbi, so it sounds like Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon would go hand in hand, making Rabbi a shitas yochid, an individual opinion against a majority opinion. So what Rabbi Oshaya is trying to convey is that we will not paskin like Rabbi. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form that appears in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivne heading, where we have a topic heading and structural note combined in one note. We feature a diamond. You see one over here, and further down the page you see another one. These are Shnei Deois Lahasbir Divrei Rabbi Chia, two approaches to explain Rabbi Chia's words when he said the Toilin. The Bekesher Ledam Shchita Shutas Al Delas, Rabbi Chia, who said regarding the blood of Shchita that spurted onto the Delas, and he said Toilin, the Inyan Machshir LeKabbalas Tuma, within the context of what is Toilin with regard to Hechshir LeKabbal Tuma. So we see Rav Papa, and later on the page Rav Ashi. Omar Rav Papa Hakol Moidim. Everyone will be in agreement. If the blood that spurted onto the delas remains there from beginning to end, namely it was there from the beginning of the shechita, and it remained on the delas until the animal was completely slaughtered, everyone will agree that that dam, even though it's, we'll call it initial landing of dam, is machshir. Ki pligi, but niskanea chadam bein simin l'simin. The controversy between Rebbe and Rebbe Chia arises in a case when the blood that landed on the delas initially got niskaneach, wiped off between the cutting of the two neck organs. In Shechita, we cut the trachea and the esophagus. So, for illustration purposes, we say he started the Shechita. At that point, some blood landed on the delas, and he finished the trachea, but before getting to cutting the esophagus, that blood was wiped off the delas. Now, the Gemara explains the two opinions. Rebbe Sova, Rebbe who says it's Huchshu LeKabbal Tuma, he is of the opinion, Yeshno L'Shchito Mitchila V'Yad Soif, that Shchita is classified as that which takes place from the beginning. From the beginning of the cutting till the end is all classified as Shechita. Vehai, and this, namely the blood that landed on the delas at the beginning, Dam Shechita Hu. It's associated with the blood of Shechita. And as such, since it's blood of Shechita, it's capable of being Machshir LeKabbal Tuma. The reason for that is that the pasuk says al ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim, that shechita is described as blood that is spilled like water, and we know just like water is machshir lekabel tuma, so too the blood of shechita. Rabbi Chiya savar eino l'shechita elo basof. Shechita is established or determined only at the end, only at the point that the animal is completed. Then we say, oh, now we have a shechita. But everything leading up to that point is not classified as shechita. It is cutting in anticipation of arriving at a point in time which we would then label as shechita. But up to that point, it's not called shechita. The high dam makahu, the blood that was on the galas but got wiped off before the completion of the shechita, since the interim cutting, we'll say, was not classified as shechita, had it remained till the end of shechita, then, as we said before, everyone would agree that it's machshir. However, it didn't remain till the end to take on the shechita label. It got wiped off before the completion of the shechita. Hence, it's called dam makahu. It's the blood of a bruise or an injury-related blood, and therefore, it's not machshir. Umay toilin, and what is the meaning of the word toilin that Rabbi Chiya said? And you'll notice, if you have any trouble finding the word toilin, we have provided a little arrow to the media right-hand side of the Gemara text, instructing you to align it with a previous arrow, pointing also to a line where the word toilin appeared. So what is toilin that Rabbi Chiya said? How do you read that word into this explanation? Answer, toilin hadovar ad gemar shechita. The blood that landed on the dalas is in the balance, or is in doubt, and is dependent until the end of shechita. Isei ledam besof shechita machshir. If the blood is there till the end, then it's machshir. Ve'i loy, if not, rather it got wiped off, lo machshir. So it's not machshir. And as you can see, this is the use of the word tolin, means it depends. It's hanging in the balance. We're waiting to see if the blood remains till after the shechita, or gets wiped off before. Umay boy v'nismach al divrei b'Shimon. And what is meant by that expression where we saw above, Rabbi Shaya said, well, I don't know which way to go, so let's rely on Rabbi Shimon to settle the matter. But how does Rabbi Shimon settle the matter? In other words, we had two opinions, Rabbi and Rabbi Chiya. We got the impression that by bringing in Rabbi Shimon, he will add weight to one of the two opinions. But how can we import Rabbi Shimon to settle the matter when Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from the blood being machshir to begin with? The Rabbi Shimon lo machshir, the Rabbi Chiya machshir. According to Rabbi Shimon, the shechita is machshir, the blood is not machshir. And according to Rabbi Chiya, the blood is capable of being machshir. So how is it that Reb Oshaya thought to bring in Rabbi Shimon to serve as an opinion that sides with Rabbi Chiya when they are themselves at odds? The Gemara answers, there is a point at which Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon overlap. In other words, agree. B'niskaneach mihu shavu lahadodi. Given the case that the blood gets wiped off before the end of shechita, you will find that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chiya are in agreement. Marlo machshir umarlo machshir. According to Rabbi Chiya, there's no hechshir, and according to Rabbi Shimon, the blood is not responsible for hechshir to begin with. And this is in opposition to Rabbi, who is a singular opinion, who says that the blood would be machshir. Havili Rabbi Chad. It would turn out that Rabbi is a singular opinion. V'ein dvorav shelecha b'mokom shnayim. And the words of a singular opinion don't hold up against an opinion held by two, by a majority. Rav Ashi Omar. Toilin equals li'oilom mashma. Rabbi Ravashi does not like the Rav Papa approach from a grammatical standpoint. The word toilin, according to Ravashi, does not imply something that's temporary, whereby we are waiting for a result that will clarify things, but rather toilin is an expression that indicates something that is everlasting, that remains. V'niskaneach l'Rebbi Chiya sfukei mesafkalei. The case of blood getting wiped off is an issue of doubt as far as Rebbi Chiya is concerned. So that the word toilin simply means doubt, that it remains unsettled. What's the suffix of Rebbi Chiya? Yeshna l'shchita mitchila ve'atsof, o eino l'shchita ela b'sof. How do we view shchita? Is shchita something that is classified as something that starts from the very beginning of the cutting and continues till the end, or is it something that is determined only at the conclusion? Umay toilin. So being that Rebbi Chiya is in a state of doubt about how to classify shchita, how do we use the word toilin in this context? Lo oichlin v'lo sorfin. The word toilin means it remains the truma, dalas. We mentioned before that this was a detached dalas that was set aside as truma. Truma that becomes tomei is burnt. This dalas that become huchshu l'kabel tuma as a result of the blood that landed on it and got wiped off between the simonim, and eventually a sheretz had come into contact with it, is this mukshar l'kabel tuma or not? So we don't eat it, because maybe it was a hechshu l'kabel tuma, and it would be then truma tamea, something to be burnt and forbidden to be eaten. On the other hand, maybe it's not mukshar l'kabel tuma. And if it's not mukshar l'kabel tuma, then technically it wasn't tamei, and you wouldn't burn it. So that's why he means here, he says, lo ochlin v'lo sorfin. It's not eaten nor burnt. Umay boyu v'nismuch al divrei Rebbi Shimon. What is the intention of saying, let's rely on Rebbe Shimon, when the Rebbe Shimon lo machshi le Rebbe Chiya safeka? Rebbe Shimon isn't like Rebbe Chiya. According to Rebbe Shimon, the blood is not a machshir at all. According to Rebbe Chiya, it's a matter of safek. So how is it that we attempted to align Rebbe Shimon with Rebbe Chiya? The Gemara answers, le'inyan sreifa mihu shavu lahadodi. With regard to the issue of burning, or the need to burn this dalas that had the dam landed on it and got wiped off in the middle between the two simonim, there is agreement as far as the issue of burning it. Marlo sarfe, or marlo sarfe. Rebbe Chiya would not have it burnt, and Rebbe Shimon would not have it burnt. As opposed to Rebbe, who would say that it was mukshar l'kabel tuma. Havele Rebbe Chad. It would then result in Rebbe being a Shitas Yochid. V'ein dvorav shel echad b'mokom shnayim. And the words of the single opinion don't hold up against a majority that disagrees. The next phrase, Rashi feels is not something that is necessary to be gores. Rashi says, Girsa delot tzricha hi. Then hence we are not going to read it, and we leave it in these brackets. Boi Rebbe Shimon ben Lokish. As you can see, Rebbe Shimon Lokish is featured with a firebox. This is a marking that indicates an opinion or an idea that will preoccupy the Gemara for at least an omid of discussion. The topic at hand, we have written in the outside margin, the nosei, Tsarid Shel Menochos. Tsarid has to do with the dry part of a korban mincha. Mincha is a meal offering, and it's a meal offering is mixed with oil, and oil is machshir l'kabel tuma. However, in the mixing of this mincha, the mincha in question, a section of it did not come into contact with the oil, and hence remained dry. Reish Lakish wants to know, im moinin boi rishon v'sheni. Let us say, after the mincha was prepared, and part of it remained dry, then a source of tuma came into contact with the dry part. Do we say that the dry part becomes a Rishon Tumah if you say a Sheretz, let us say, which is an Avatumah, touched the dry part of the Mincha. An Avatumah contacting something and making it Tumah makes the item a Rishon, that which it came into contact with, a Rishon. And then that, if it contacts other food, would make it, the other food, a Sheni, a second degree Tumah. There's a certain assumption over here, and that is that the, even though it's dry, it itself will be affected by the Tumah. That the Gemara will make an allusion to when, after all, we've said till now that something does not become susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah unless it comes into contact, we're talking of course about food items, until it comes into contact with some liquid, a liquid that's makshir l'kabel tumah, otherwise it's not susceptible and doesn't absorb tumah. Yet here we are making some type of assumption that the mincha, the dry part of the mincha itself, becomes tumah or posel. The only question is, does it absorb a level of tumah that it could then pass it on to other items? And that's what is meant by moinin boi rishon v'sheni. Do we start a chain reaction? But as far as the initial tumah absorption, there is, as we said, an assumption that it does become tumah, even though it's dry. The Gemara will talk about something called chivas hakodesh. The fact that something is sanctified, it's itself, chiba is something that is beloved or significant in this case. The fact that something is sanctified replaces the need to come into contact with liquid as far as the initial tumah absorption is concerned. So that won't preoccupy our discussion. What does preoccupy the discussion is the issue of moinin boi rishon v'sheni, does the dry part of the mincha become tumah to the extent that it could pass the tumah on to other food items? Boi Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. In the Gemara, we are reading the firebox name. Tzarid shel menachas, the dry part of the mincha. Moinin boi rishon v'sheni o ein moinin boi rishon v'sheni. Do we consider it a rishon l'tumah, the dry part of the mincha that came into contact with the sheretz being a dead critter that the Torah says eight different kinds of shrotzim convey tumah when they are dead. So a sheretz came into contact with a dry part of a mincha. Do we say that the mincha becomes a rishon and it then would be able to make something else into a sheni, or do we say otherwise? Further explanation. Two parts of the explanation. Ki mahanya chibas hakodesh, when there is effectiveness. Mahanya means something that's effective. When we speak about the effectiveness of chibas hakodesh, that's the sanctification of a food item, la'afsule gufei, that it affects the, it creates a situation where the food item itself becomes tomei, and therefore forbidden to be eaten. However, le mimne bei rishon v'sheni lo, but chibas hakodesh is not strong enough to enable the item to create a chain reaction to pass the tumah on to other things. Or maybe we make no distinction. Namely, just like it's psul gufei, it itself becomes basul, it also is capable of passing the tumah on to other items. The question is asked, Omar Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar brings a source in with the intent to resolve the question. Toshma mikol ha'ochel asher ye'ochel asher yovel of mayim yitmo. That's the pasuk. Ochel habo b'mayim huchshar, ochel zein habo b'mayim lo huchshar. Water, food that comes into contact with water is said to be muchshar. If it is not in contact with water, it's not muchshar. On the surface, it would seem that Rebbe Lozer is saying there is not going to be any counting of Rishon Visheni. The problem is that Rebbe Lozer introduces a piece of information that would seem to be fairly obvious. Atu Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish lesle oichel abo b'mayim. Do you think that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, doesn't hold from this idea Does he not know? After all, Reish Lakish raised the question. By raising the question, it indicates that there's something unknown to him. The Rebbe Elazar then introduces information that we'd have to assume was something unknown to Reish Lakish, but that's highly untenable to suggest that this information was not known to him. So the Gemara asks, you think that Reish Lakish doesn't know that Oichel Abo B'mayim, he doesn't know that food that comes into contact with water is Mukshar L'Kabel Tuma? Rather, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Hochi Kome Bayale. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's question is as follows. Chibas HaKodesh Ke'Oichel Abo B'mayim Domi Oiloi. The status gained by something being sanctified, we call Chibas HaKodesh, I want to know, is that the equivalent of Oichel Habo B'mayim, and hence it would then become a Rishon and be able to make something else into a Sheni, or no, or we don't say that. So Reish Lakish's question is still alive and well, it still stands. What was Rebbe Elazar trying to accomplish in bringing in the source? Rebbe Elazar, as in fact, was attempting to answer Reish Lakish's question, understanding Reish Lakish's point of view. In other words, Rebbe Elazar understood that Reish Lakish's question was concerning Chibas HaKodesh, is it like Oichel Abo B'mayim or not? And Rebbe Elazar was trying to answer this very question. Rebbe Elazar Nami, Miyasuri Kroi Ka'amar. Rebbe Elazar was trying to answer the question by virtue of that which would appear to be extra psukim. Michti, Ksi V'chiyutan Mayim Alzera. There is a pasuk already that talks about water being placed on vegetation in the context of Hechshu L'Kabel Tumah. Mikola Oichel Asheya Ochel Lomali. What do I need this extra expression referring to all food that a person eats? You already said it. The pasuk already said it by saying Yutan Mayim Al Zera. What do I need this extra expression for? Lav lemute chibas hakodesh. Is it not coming to exclude chibas hakodesh, informing us that it's not like hechshir mayim? So with that, Rebbe Elazar would have been answering Reish Lakish's question. However, there is a response that this does not settle the matter. Rather, loy. Not like we just wanted to assume that the extra expression was coming to Mimai Chivas HaKodesh, but rather the extra pasuk was not coming to exclude Chivas HaKodesh, but rather Chad B'tumas Meis V'Chad B'tumas Sheretz Utzrichi. This we are calling, by way of our markings, a Dechia. It's a rejection of what Rebbe Elazar tried to answer. And you'll notice that we have a Dalid that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line, which indicates the length of this particular rejection. The extra pasuk basically means we have two psukim, Ki Yutan Mayim Al Zera and Mikol Oichel Asheya Ochel. Reish Lakish will tell you that one pasuk is telling me about the need for hechshir mayim, for something being mukshir l'kabel tuma when it comes to tumas meis, tuma conveyed through contact with the dead human beings, v'chad b'tumas sheretz. And another pasuk which indicates I need hechshir l'kabel tuma, contact with the food, contact with water to establish susceptibility to tuma in the context of tumas sheretz. Both of them, both in the case of Tumas Meis and Tumas Sheretz, Tuma will not be conveyed unless there was Hechshir Mayim beforehand. Utsrichi, and I need to be told both of them, and I could not figure out one realm from the other. The Yashmin and Tumas Meis, had the Torah informed me that by Tumas Meis you need to have Hechshir, L'Kabel Tuma, contact with water, otherwise no Tuma absorption. Hosamhu the boy Hechshir, Mishum de Lomitame Bichadosha. There, meaning by mace, you need to have hechshir because it has an area of leniency in it, in that there is no, it's not metame if you have an adosha. An adosha sometimes is translated as a lentil quantity. It's a small quantity. Let's say you have a small quantity of dead human flesh, the quantity of an adosha. It would not communicate tumas mace. Avol, sheretz dimetame bechadasha, but a sheretz which has this aspect of stringency associated with it, namely that even a small quantity of sheretz flesh will convey tumas sheretz. I would have thought that since in the area of tumas sheretz you have this aspect of stringency, there is communication of tumah even without hechsher. Therefore, the Torah, in addition to mace, has to teach me about the sheretz. That sheretz needs to be, for tumah sheretz to be absorbed, there has to be hechsher lekabel tumah. V'yashmin and sheretz, had the Torah taught me about sheretz and not about mace, mishum delo metame tumah shiva. Tumas sheretz is a type of tumah that lasts for one day. If a person touched a sheretz, dead sheretz, toward the end of the day he immerses in the mikveh, and by nightfall he achieves tara. Not so is the case with tumas mace. It's a 7-day period of tumah, thereby showing an aspect of stringency with regard to tumas mace. So since mace has this area of severity to it, ema lo liboy hechsher, I would have thought that there is no necessity for the food to have received hechsher, and it would become tome anyway upon contact with mace. Tzricha, therefore, I have to teach, in addition to sheretz, I must teach mace as well, as requiring hechsher before you can talk about tumah absorption. At this point in the Gemara, then, we can say that Shitas Reb Elozer was, that we saw from his answer, that there is no counting of Rishon and Sheni when it comes to something that absorbed Tumah only through Chibas Kodesh. At this point, though, and let's say a little bit more, that there won't be a counting of Rishon and Sheni unless the food item had contact with water. Triangles that appear in the Gemara now represent Kushios, and we've indicated this in our Mivneh note in the outside margin. These are kushos on Reb Elozer that said that ein minyan rishon v'sheni elaim kain huchsher b'mayim. Let us now see the questions on Reb Elozer. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises an objection from a Tanaic source that we've seen in the past, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hufshru b'shvita. The meat that's shechted becomes Hufshur l'kabel tumah through the mere fact that it was slaughtered, even if no blood emerged. Hufshru equals afilu minli behu rishon v'sheni. The expression Hufshru conveys or implies even to the extent that the meat that was slaughtered and no blood emerged, if it came into contact with the sheretz, it would be able to transfer its tumah down one level. It having become a rishon would make something else that it contacts a sheni. Well, am I? If Reb Elozer is correct, why should that be? V'ha'lav oichel abo b'mayim hu. It didn't come into contact with a liquid. Mayim sometimes is used as a general term referring to a liquid that's machshir l'kabel tumah. In this case, in Reb Shimon's case, there was no contact with such a liquid, and yet we see from the fact that it said huchshru b'shchita that there is a counting of rishon v'sheni without water, and we would say the same thing with regard to chibas hakodesh, and hence this is a kasha on Reb Elozer. Omale Abaye, Abaye answers asa'uhu kehechsher mayim midrabanan. It's not real hechsher. The hechsher that was spoken about here is considered a rabbinic level of hechsher, and the difference between a real hechsher and a rabbinic classification of hechsher is that if truma, let us say, came into contact with this meat, we would not burn the truma. We don't burn truma unless there is a definitive severe level of tumah that affected it, but a hechsher derabbanan won't allow it to be tomei in the fullest sense of the word. We call it rabbinical level tumah, and hence we won't burn it. Omar Rebbe Zera. Before going on, let's just emphasize that we thought that we had a kasha on Rabbi Elazar by saying that the term hukshru indicated full-fledged hechsher with the ability to create the chain reaction of passage of tumah further. Abaye says the word hukshru does not convey that idea. It simply conveys an idea of hechsher derabbanan, a rabbinic level of hechsher. Omar Rabbi Zeiro, Toshma, we quote another Tanaic source. The Tanaic source features that which is initially a machlokas Shammai and Hillel, but at the end of the day, Hillel agrees with Shammai. It describes someone harvesting grapes for the purpose of preparing wine. As such, grapes that one gathers in baskets for the purpose of making wine, he would be very interested that the grape juice, the liquid within the grapes, remains in the grapes until it gets to the press. Grape juice that emerges, that oozes out before it gets to the press, is something that you are very unhappy with. You would prefer that it wouldn't be there. In other words, you would prefer that the liquid stayed inside and didn't emerge, didn't surface. As such, it's considered a mashke that's undesirable. When we speak about things that are machshir lekabel tumah, we speak about situations where the liquid was desired. And we actually have learned this in previous sukkis. The desirability or the desireness of the liquid, even if it's not for the food itself, but there was some satisfaction with the presence of the liquid. In the case of Botzer Lagas, someone harvesting Lagas for the press, he is essentially not happy with the emergence of the liquid from the grapes whatsoever. So the source says, HaBotzer Lagas, Shammai Omer Huchsher, Hillel Omer Lo Huchsher, V'Shosik Le Hillel L'Shammai. Shammai claims that even though he didn't want the liquid, it creates a hechsher l'kabel tumah. Now, by virtue of the fact that we're emphasizing he didn't want it, it shows us that we're talking about some type of hechsher that is not the standard case of hechsher through mayim. When we speak about something becoming hechsher through contact with water, it's water that he is happy with its presence. Here he is not happy with the presence, and yet, hechsher is accomplished. And it says in this source that Shosik leHillel leShammai, that Hillel himself remains silent in the face of Shammai, that Hillel agrees. Well, Amai, why is there hechsher? And it turns out hechsher according to all opinions. Why? It's not like the case of food that comes into contact with water. Let's repeat what we said before. The standard case of food that comes into contact with water, that's liquid that was desired. Here, you have contact with a liquid. The grapes are in contact with the liquid that oozes out of them, but it's not grape juice that you are happy with at all. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said that there is no hechsher unless it's the case of Oichel Habo B'mayim. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye answers that this is a rabbinic hechsher, asu kehechsher mayim midirabanan. This is, by the way, not the first time that Abaye is answering this. We've seen it before. In fact, with our markings, we have indicated Abaye with a volcano marking, and we've indicated above the first presence of Abaye a little 1, and this is a little 2. Omar Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now raises an objection to Abaye's deflections. It may be pointed out that beforehand, Rav Yosef, he was the first one to raise an objection. He was the first triangle. It said there, Mosif Rav Yosef. And he's now listening to Abaye offer the same response twice in deflecting these questions. This is a long question. We've marked it to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an encircled kuf and descending dashed line to indicate the length of Rav Yosef's question. Omar Le Rav Yosef, Amino Lochano Huchshru B'Shchita, I quoted to you the source of Rav Shimon that said, Huchshru B'Shchita. V'yad amrisli asu kechshir mayim. And you said that, well, it's not a real hechshir. It's a rabbinic hechshir. V'omar loch Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Zeira quoted the source of Boitzer Lagas, V'amris le asu kechshir mayim, and you said the same thing to him. Well, since you're on this roll, so to speak, that all these cases that seemed to be real hechshers, even though there was no hechshir mayim, you deflected them, the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish nami, with regard to the scenario of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, you say asu kehechshir mayim. Let us glance at the Rashi. The Rabbi Shimon, the Rish Lakish nami. If you are saying that there's such a thing as hechsher midrabanan, so say the same thing with regard to Reish Lakish's case of the dry mincha, that the chibas hakodesh doesn't accomplish real hechsher, but a rabbinic hechsher, and it would then transfer tuma on a rabbinic level. And as we said before, when it comes to these areas of rabbinic tuma, we understand that if truma is affected, it won't be burnt. So why not say the same thing with regard to Reish Lakish? Omar Lei, Abaye responds, Otu Reb Shimon ben Lakish litlos komibaya Lei, do you think that Reish Lakish, in raising his question, is raising a question concerning leaving it in a state of doubt? Talinon has to do with the state of not arriving at a conclusion that something should be burnt. That's not what Reish Lakish is asking about. And if we look in the Rashi, litlos komebayale, e talinon ilo talinon, do you think Reish Lakish is asking about that? Pshita le the Reish Lakish, it's clear to Reish Lakish inyan itzri bachila, as far as prohibition to eat, monina ve rishon v'sheni niha medrabanan. It's obvious, Reish Lakish wouldn't be asking about should we consider it forbidden to be eaten and transfer tuma down to a from itself, from a Rishon status to a Sheni status on a simple rabbinic level. It's obvious to him that it will be usher. He's going in his question a step beyond that. Ki kol mibayalei lisroif. He wants to know if the Tzrid Shel Menachas and the Chibas HaKodesh is machshir it to the extent that if it became tomei, it would be called a rishon midoraisa, and that which it touches would be a sheni doraisa, and if it touched truma, we would burn it. This is what Reish Lakish was asking about. Hence, to give the simple deflection as far as establishing Reish Lakish as these sources were answered by Abaye as simply that there is some type of tuma derabbanan associated with it, that is certainly the case. In other words, as we said, we're now repeating ourselves, it is certainly the case that as in the case of tuma derabbanan, the item would be usur to be eaten. So too, according to Reish Lakish, it's very clear that the Tzrid Shel Menachas that became Tomei would be usur to be eaten, and in fact could make something else usur to be eaten, but on a rabbinic level. What Reish Lakish was asking about, would the Tzrid Shel Menachas, upon coming into contact with Tuma, be able to transfer the Tuma to something else to make it a Sheni and actually burn it? As the Gemara goes on, the Gemara now refers to something that we mentioned in the beginning of our discussion, and that is that there's an assumption here that the dry mincha itself is susceptible to tuma absorption, and that is through something called chibas hakodesh, by the fact that something is consecrated, is sanctified, that is sufficient to make it susceptible to tuma absorption. Once again, we call that chibas hakodesh. Michlal de chibas akodesh de oraisa. Reish Lakish's whole question concerned, does it communicate tuma down the line mid oraisa? But as far as itself becoming rendered unfit by virtue of the fact that it's sanctified, that seems to be the case that it's mukhshar lekabel tumah by virtue of its simply being sanctified on a Torah level. So to this, the Gemara wants to know, what's the source? Minolan. From where do we know that Chibas HaKodesh is d'oraisa? And once again, the Chibas HaKodesh enables or causes it to become posel itself. That's called psul gufa. From where do we know this? You'll notice that we have a long question marking at the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a shin that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. And the diamonds are used here to present possibilities in trying to answer this question, the question of minolon. So the first diamond is saying, e lema, if you think it's from this would be like an attempted answer, but it's an e lema as such is something that won't last. Hence, we know that it's part of the question. Like, namely, we are asking, from where do I know Chibas HaKodesh? If you'll say the following, well, we'll go on to show how you cannot rely on this. Therefore, the Gemara later on will say, Elo Misefa. Rather, from the concluding section of the source, we will try to prove that Chibas HaKodesh is Machshir Lifsol Gufei. So, now we read the Gemara. We want to know Minolon. From where do I know Chibas HaKodesh works Min HaTorah, on a Torah level? This is a pasuk by Korbanos. Hai bosar deiskasher b'mai. This meat spoken about in the pasuk, what is the source of its hechsher? We have a long bracketed section. The purpose of the brackets is to enable you to get to the, we'll call it the essence of this suggestion. If you notice, we have a bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line that appears to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara. If we skip it, we will be able to maintain the trend of thought that the Gemara wants to convey at this point. We are asking, if you think that it's if you say it's from this pasuk, well, what's the source of the hechsher in this pasuk? And skipping the brackets momentarily, it says Elolav diskashe bechibas kodesh. Oh, the pasuk that speaks about this kachim meat that became muchsher lekabel tumah, it became huchsher from the fact that it was sanctified. And that would be the suggestion of maybe this is the source. That was our ilema. The Gemara though will reject this when it says Vidilmo Kiravira Mashmuel afterwards. That would be the rejection of this suggestion. That will then bring the Gemara to a new suggestion as to a source for Chibas HaKodesh. But being that we skipped the bracket section, we now go over it and see what the Gemara wants. The Gemara wants to know the Pasuk that spoke about the Bosar that came into contact with Tomei, with Tuma, that it becomes Tomei. Hai bosar diskashir b'mai, what was the source of hechsher? In lema, and you'll notice we have a 1, and a little bit later a number 2. These are suggestions that will be rejected. In lema diskashir b'dam, if you will say that it became mukhshir kabel tumah through blood, and we're talking, let's not forget, we're talking about sacrificial meat. The blood of the sacrifice. If you're going to say that that was the source of hechsher, in fact, sacrificial blood is not machshir. The Omer Reb Chiya bar Abba and Reb Yochanan, minayin ledam kodshim she'eino machshir. From where do we know that the blood of sacrifices is not a source of hechsher? Shenemar, the pasuk says lo sochlenu. The pasuk referring to blood says don't eat blood. Alor tishbchenu kamayim. Rather, let it go on the floor. Let it flow out like water. Don't eat it. Dam hanishbach kemayim machshir. Dam that's parallel to water, something that you throw out, that you get rid of. That kind of blood is machshir. However, shein nishbach kemayim, blood that's not nishbach kemayim, for example, sacrificial blood that you don't spill out, rather you collect it for the purpose of sprinkling on the altar, eino machshir. So to suggest that the blood of the sacrifice served as the hechsher in this pasuk of Abosur Shiga b'chol tameh, that is not the source of hechsher. Ela, so what is possibly the source of hechsher in that pasuk? What made the meat susceptible to absorbing the tumah? Diskashir b'mashke beis mitbachaya. Maybe because it came into contact with liquids at the slaughtering site in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Mitbachaya is the place in the Azora that the animals were slaughtered. And in that area, there is water that's used to wash off the meat, and etc. So maybe the Mashki Beis Mitbachaya was the source of Hechsher. No, that too cannot be. The Omer of Yosi Berchanina, Mashki Beis Mitbachaya, the liquids found at the slaughter site in the Beis HaMikdash, lo dayon, not enough, lo dayon shehein dochein, that they themselves don't absorb tumah, and lo shehein machshirim, they don't even cause other things to become tomei. V'chi tema tirgima a dam, you might say that that which Rabbi Yossi just said, that the Mashki Beis Mitbachaya are not machshir, is a reference only to the blood, but other liquids like the water there would be machshir. That's not true. For mashki, comma, mashki is a plural expression, meaning all the liquids, including the water of the slaughter site, would not be machshir. So what is machshir, the meat, featured in the posuk above, Vayikra Zayin posuk Yutes, to absorb tumah? What was machshir it? Elolav, diskashir b'chibas ha-kodesh. Oh, this is what we were looking for. It became mukshar through chibas ha-kodesh, through the fact that it was simply sanctified. The Gemara rejects this as being inconclusive. If you want to know how the meat became mukshar lekabel tumah, I'll tell you. The Gemara will tell us it became mukshar through water, but not water of the slaughter site. But before animals are shechted, in order to make it easier to skin them, they are watered down. So this animal, which was watered down, was then shechted. The water was still on its body, and the water came into contact with the meat. This water that was there from before, water that you were desirous of. And hence, we have a standard form of Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah without relying upon Chibas HaKodesh. V'dilma, the Gemara says, Kidder of Yudam HaShmuel. Maybe the meat featured in Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Yutes became Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah through his rule. The Amar of Yudam HaShmuel, Kigon Shoyselo Paro Shel Zivchei Shlomim. He had a cow that was designated to be a Shlomim sacrifice, Ve'vira Benachal, and he waded it through a river in order to make it wet. And when he shechted it, the liquid was still on it. The liquid was still damp on it, and that liquid fell onto from the skin onto the meat, and that's what made it hukshur lekabel tumah. So we don't see at this point a source for chivas hakodesh. Elo mi seifa. So we try looking at the seifa. The Tanaic source says, v'habosar. That's a quote from the Pasuk. L'rabois eitzim ulevoina. Wood and levona, spice, become susceptible to tumas oichlim. They become, even though wood is not food, and levona is an incense, it's not food. Eitzim ulevona b'nei achilo ninu. Are these edible? And yet this Gzeres HaKosov tells me that they absorb tumas oichlin. That would mean if you have food that's rishon l'tumah, that came into contact with Beis HaMikdash wood or Beis HaMikdash levona, the wood and the levona would become tomei. Tomei through Tumas Oichlin. But after all, it's not ochlin. How could this be? Elochibas hakodesh machshu lehu umashvi lehu ochel. It's the chibas hakodesh that's in operation. The wood was sanctified. The lavona was sanctified, and that makes it susceptible for tuma absorption. Hacha nami. So too over here, all kachim, including the tzrid shel menachos that Reish Lakish was speaking about. Chibas hakodesh machsharta. The chibas hakodesh, the fact that the mincha, the meal offering, was sanctified, even though it remains dry, is sufficient for making it susceptible for tuma absorption. Then Reish Lakish asked his question. My, this represents a continuation of the Gemara, where we continue on the top of Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. The Gemara is simply paraphrasing or reiterating Reish Lakish's question. Namely, once we've determined that Chibas HaKodesh is Machshir Midoraisa, my, the Reish Lakish's question now follows Ki Mahanya Chibas HaKodesh Luxuva the Gufei, when there is Mahanya, effectiveness of Chibas HaKodesh, that's only insofar as the item itself becoming ruined. Avulamimna Bei Rishon Vesheni Lo, but with, to be able to communicate the tuma to another item, that no, that's the counting of Rishon status, and then what it comes into contact would then become a sheni, that would not happen. Or Yibilma Lo Shna, or maybe we don't make a distinction, and just like Chibas HaKodesh is effective in creating the psul gufe, that the item itself would become rendered unfit and you would burn it, so too it is capable of transferring that the tuma to something else, which you would also burn. So this is the question, teku, and it remains unresolved. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.